Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe so that way you always get your episodes. But enough of that. Let's get right back into the episode.
He's saying, yeah, well, I just wish we had more time to hang out because, like, you know, I just know, like, if I like someone quickly. And she goes, I mean, so do I. And he's like, so you're saying that we both like each other? And then they laugh. And she goes, I mean, so you want to do this again, right? I mean, I'm just kidding. But, like, you do, right? He said, yeah, you're kind of special. Wink, wink, charm, charm. Which
sorry,
is cute.
Sorry you fell in love with me. It's all my fault.
I mean, this was kind of a cute scene, except that he shows up later being like, but yeah, but like, why do girls think I like him? Like, why do I have to like start dating him right away? Like, why do they get the impression I want to date him instead of just fucking him? Like, because you do shit like this where you're like, I just want to be in a relationship right away. I sure know what I like. And it's you. Right. And then the next scene, he's like, but now am I going to give her the wrong impression if I just want to fuck her?
Right. And this is on the heels of him complaining about Paige. He's essentially saying Paige was dangling a carrot in front of him by saying, yeah, we'll get married in one day, when he's actively dangling a carrot now with this girl. But, you know, it was Paige's fault in this situation, not Craig's fault. You know, that's where the pop psychology ends, is when dealing with Paige. So now we go to Molly's house and she's just doing her normal thing, which is rearranging and moving her piles of junk and snake stuff around.
Like in her hoarder house. So she's in her hoarder house. I like her piano setup, that it's right under the TV. You know, it's a good space saver. I've never really thought about that. And she pulls out a plastic bag with a weave in it. And she's like, oh, this is my weave from America's Next Top Model. Yeah, I didn't need to sniff that. I don't know why I did that. Puts it back, and her mom calls her. She's like, hey, honey, you had any babies yet? She's like, no, mom. I'm just like, God, what are you doing? She's like, I'm going to play bridge with these goddamn old people taking up all the parking spaces in the senior center. Fucking old people. Sick of them.
Well, I gotta go find another parking spot. She's like, well, since you called, I'd like to invite you and dad to this little set that Keith and I are playing in a couple of weeks. And she's like, I'm just having a couple people over. It's the annual Molly drags everyone to listen to or do something with music thing. And
this is better though than the euphonium concert.
The euphonium concert where Shep sat there in the audience and used his fingers like a little conductor thing. Like,
someone was like, yes! Never been to classical music. Yes! It's not a Kiss concert, Shep.
Tori, Adora, Gersh, Gersh, Gersh. So Molly,
cars, 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 cars. Wait, this is my favorite song. Cars, 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 cars.
Oh, I love the holidays when I can go and see the Garsh Cracker. Garsh, garsh,
garsh, garsh, garsh, garsh, garsh. Dance with the sugar garsh fairies.
Sugar garsh. He just inserts the garsh in that one. He doesn't even replace anything.
He replaced the plum.
Oh yeah, he did replace the plum. I always replace the plum. So Molly says, yeah, like, come into my concert. And Anne, her mom, says, oh honey, I can't wait, we'll be cheering for you. I've always every time you've sung anywhere, I've always been so proud of you, and I'm so proud of you for doing this. You know, until you were in Greece in 10th grade, we had never heard you sing. Mom, I don't think I was in Greece. No, that time that you spilled all that vegetable oil on yourself and you began singing, we thought that was strange, but your beautiful voice covered in grease.
I just wish your first public song hadn't been about abortion. It's like, Mom, that wasn't even me playing Rizzo. Well, that girl was talented. So you were in Greece? Yes, mother. God. You all just assumed I was in group choir and I assumed I sucked. And she's like, no, we didn't assume you sucked. I mean, we had a pretty good idea you sucked.
We didn't quite realize. We thought all that time you really did try to go to beauty school, and then when you dropped out, we were actually secretly very happy. That was just a song, apparently.
Okay, that was Frenchie, mother. Okay, so that girl was talented too. Who were you in Grease again?
Were you the Dinah Manoff character? Love her.
Well, you did really stick with it. And, you know, the one thing that worried about is with you, it worries us about you, is that sometimes you don't stick with things, okay? Like cleaning your house. You maybe stick with that. God, do something. I should remember you couldn't even stick to washing your hair. Remember when you were in that choir and everybody just kind of kept moving away from you because your hair smelled? Hey, you've given away that weave, right?
Ronnie, I have to stop everything. What's wrong? Of course, I mentioned Dinah Manoff appropriately.
Okay, so here we go. We're going into a Dinah Manoff sings Grease, or what? Are you going to go through a Dinah Manoff song list?
I'm stopping everything. And I think this happened last year, but I'm just, you know, Dinah Manoff was in Grease, so that was an authentic reference. And then I thought, why do I have this weird tingle in myself that, like, today is Dinah Manoff's birthday? So I typed in, when is Dinah Manoff's birthday? And her birthday is January 25th. So her birthday was 4 days ago. But more importantly, Dinah Manoff was born on Watch What Crappens' birthday.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
How did we never know that we shared the same birthday as Dinah Manoff?
I don't know, but that's hilarious. Now we need to look up everybody. Nell Carter, birthday.
January 25th.
Nell Carter was September 13th. So she's not born on her birthday, but she is a fellow Virgo. So good for her. Who else do we have? Mark overall.
Yep. Okay. Mary Tyler Moore. Oh, no, that was deaths. Sorry. Oh, gosh.
Jeez,
well, that's too bad. Sorry. I'm like, wow, because it said 2017. Okay, let's get out of the deaths. Okay. Who do we have? Okay, Ariana DeBose. All right, Oscar winner. These are the young people right now. I'm in the young. You gotta get past the young people because no one cares about the young celebrities, right? Alicia Keys. Don't really.
Oh my God, Frankie Grande. Okay, you know what? We shouldn't keep looking at this. Yeah, but we do have Mary Lee Retton, Justin Baldoni. Wow, we've got a controversial birthday.
We really actually. Do. Wow. Anna Ortiz. It's okay. I feel like Stephen Chomsky. I was hoping that we'd have some like really good ones. I mean, like, listen, we got Dinah Manoff and that's all that matters, right?
Terry Coon.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. I don't know a lot of these people, honestly. But that's pretty good. Dinah Manoff. I'll take Dinah Manoff. I think that, yeah, I think
Dinah Manoff and Jennifer Lewis will make me happy. Gloria Naylor.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay,
so, love that book.
Molly's like, they're talking about her singing and how she doesn't stick with anything. And then we see a clip of how she doesn't stick to things when she was at that baby shower and she didn't go to her concert because she wanted to hang out with Corey Kiefer, so disgusting. And she's like, I'm going to get fired from the band. He's like, oh, what time are you supposed to be there? 15 minutes ago. Oh.
So she's like, I think it's also, I don't have a lot of confidence in myself to do things. And I'm just like, I could do that, but would I be great at it? Would it really work out? So I think I like let that little voice in my head stop me from doing a lot of things that would be fun, you know? And so her cat, Robert Downey Jr., just stares at her like, here's something you could finish making me dinner, bitch. Come on.
Yeah. So she is going to do that. So now let's go to Craig's house. He got a package and of course, you know, he has an assistant. So he's like, Jack. So Jack comes in and they realize that shampoo or something has spilled all over the box. And so Jack's like, oh God, I guess I'll take care of that, Craig. He's like, what even is this box? He's like, I don't know. Like, you literally order so much shit. I mean, every day is like a TikTok purchase in the mailbox.
It's just funny because Craig is like bragging about how last week he's like, I just live a different lifestyle now. Like, I pick up after myself. I'm clean now. And now he like orders some shampoo from Amazon and it comes exploded. And instead of just taking it over to the sink and washing it off, he's like, Jack. And then Jack comes, takes the shampoo, runs it under the faucet that's right next to Craig. And then like gives it back.
Look at these. These are little bee baths because sometimes the bees like go into the pool to get water and then they drown in it. So this is so they have a convenient place to get water.
And Jack's like, I didn't know that bees drink water.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm rich and you're not. So
We really should have seen the signs that Craig and Sally weren't going to work out now that we have a full vision of birds and bees dying in the pool.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Whitney calls Craig and invites him to dinner for Austin's birthday. And he's like, well, I'd love for you to come. I mean, I don't know what the status of your relationship is, but if you want to come, you should come. Core four. And he's like, yeah, our status changes every day of the week with that guy. So he's like, yeah, Austin and I's value system is very different. I mean, at its core, like, it leads to a lot of arguments between us. I'm someone who cares about bees having a water source. Austin's not.
Do you wonder if it's like it's a veiled way of saying their politics? Because Craig is
conservative,
right?
I think they're both pretty conservative. I mean, they had Tomi Lahren on their podcast. I don't think you get more conservative than that.
Yeah, but I get the sense that, like, I don't know. I mean, actually, I forget what Austin's politics are, but I get the sense that Craig is like pretty right wing. So I wonder when he talks about his value. Do we think that when he's saying our value system, is he making code for their politics, or is he just speaking?
I think he's saying because he looks at himself as someone who like can go sober for 5 minutes to impress a girl, and he's in monogamous relationship, and Austin's just never looking for a monogamous relationship. He just wants to fuck around and pretend he's in a monogamous relationship so he can continue to cheat. And then, you know, Craig is very successful and Austin's business failed because Austin's like a fuckboy and Craig's like a very mature adult, I think, in Craig's mind.
Because Craig is aspiring to mature and grow and have a family, and Austin's still just like fucking around.
Yeah.
It's just fun to think that like maybe it's a political disagreement that's happening.
I don't think they think about politics very much, those two. I would say I don't really think they put that much thought into it, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just like, I'm better than Austin in every way. I have a house, I have a business, and I always have a girlfriend, you know, like a steady girlfriend, and he's a loser.
Austin doesn't respect my value system. Just because he wants to do things that I might not do it, that's on him.
And then Whitney's like, Craig could just be a bully. I mean, he thinks he knows right. And then he's like, fuck you. And then the next day he's like your best friend. And then Austin, he holds grudges. So it just becomes like a circle jerk of stupidity and acrimony that just keeps him festering. It's like, well, that is fair. That is a very good way to put it. A circle jerk of stupidity and acrimony that keeps on festering.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah. Well, who else is coming?
Just a core four. Just a core four, bro.
So now he's talking to Jack about the exploded shampoo and that Austin, he's been invited to Austin's birthday. And
he was like, I don't know if I want to come by, but I'm like, am I invited or not?
Well, he's probably worried about you and Austin, Craig.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
I mean, how was he at Rodrigo's party, Craig?
Well, we didn't talk. I mean, we said hi, but I just stayed away because I'm an addict and I have to stay away from Austin. He's the bad influence on me.
Well, it would just be weird if you didn't go, like, especially like with a date or something, you know? I mean, I could clear my schedule if you want.
All right, I'll go alone. Thanks, Jack.
Jack's like, Jack is like putting on little pearl earrings. Alone and like little satin gloves, licking himself in the mirror.
I was hoping we could watch the season finale of Heated Rivalry together, but if you gotta go to Austin's birthday.
A few stolen moments is all that I have.
Ow.
Gotcha.
Grill 225. Craig comes. At first, I was like, have we gone to this restaurant? Did we go there when we were in Charleston? It looks very familiar. So. But I think all of the restaurants look like that. All the steakhouses look like this. Like real old timey.
I know. It actually made me want to go to one. I was like, this looks like a really fun dinner, actually. And I kind of want to put on like a blazer and go get like a martini and you know, creamed spinach and the steak. And like, I really wanted to, like, I was sitting there watching it and I was mentally saying to myself, am I going to be putting together, a steakhouse dinner tonight. This is a great story for everyone listening. So congratulations.
Steakhouse dinner. It looked oppressive to me. I felt like this is a place that will not have a vegetarian option, just to be dicks.
No.
Like, even if you get a baked potato, they'll be like, it was cooked in duck fat. You know?
Yes,
they'll just fuck it up just to piss you off.
But it's also a nouveau. This is a nouveau riche steakhouse. Because an old school proper steakhouse that this one's trying to pretend to be would never have a nitrotini that has a sticker label that says warning on it. That's just like gauche. An old school steakhouse would be able to make the martinis and you don't have to rely on a gimmick. But this one's like the Cold Stone ice cream of martinis. So they have a whole funky thing.
I don't know that I want to drink that. Right? We see them making it and they're just pouring the liquid nitrogen into the drink. Is that something that people drink? I mean, I guess.
I don't get, like, to me, at a certain point, cold is cold. I don't need it to be colder than that.
Yeah, ice is fine. Yeah, ice is okay. So,
in a martini, specifically. Only in a martini and nowhere else.
Yeah, so the bartender is like, hey, so you're having a martini, Whitney. Okay, you want olives or twist? And he's like, oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you. That sounds great. And Craig goes, no, olives. Or a twist. He's like, oh, sorry. I thought he said Oliver Twist. I'm a fucking idiot. What the fuck? They're putting nitro and shit. Well, what do I know what they're calling it?
The bartender gives Whitney such an evil look. Like, when you step into the house of the nitrotini, you listen. Okay? I asked you a question.
Respect the nitrotini. So Shep comes in and their roommate stint is already over.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a waste. I thought this was going to be a storyline, guys. So, nope, Chep's already gone. And he's like, you missed me, Craig.
Yeah, like, it was hard to transition to having a roommate, but then now I miss you because I got used to you and I ain't anymore.
Chep laughed. It's all my fault. So,
Chep dropped in
shows.
Shep dropped an egg on my carpet. It's all my fault.
Wait a minute, I didn't do that.
Yes, you did, and it's all my fault.
How are you going to not take responsibility, but take responsibility for not taking responsibility, Craig?
Shep committed a federal crime and snuck into my mail and squashed my shampoo and then taped it back up again so we wouldn't know. It's all my fault. So Austin shows up at this nice place in shorts. Like, I can't. This is why half the women of Charleston need to leave. So that way the men start actually, you know, putting an effort into going out into public, because this is just unacceptable. And in fact, like, they all give him shit. Like, you are in shorts in this nice steakhouse. It's my birthday. It's my birthday. Chop's like, gosh, Tommy Bahama is here. Oh. As if they all don't wear Tommy Bahama. Let's also be honest.
No.
Well, I never have an over-the-top celebration. I don't like it. I want to get together with some friends. I mean, well, actually, frenemies at this point.
We get a reminder that Craig called, or Sally, we have a reminder that Sally told Austin that Craig called him his enemy. And Austin is looking at this gift because Whitney got him, like, some booze. And Austin's like, oh, if I open this, is it going to be, like, half-drank? And Whitney was like, no, it's all packaged. She's like, all right, I believe you. Thanks, everyone. Okay.
It's still wrapped. Like, it's still wrapped. You can open it and you can see the packaging. It's like, oh, yeah, look at that. Oh, the card. Miss Patricia, thank you so much for having me over. Thanks. Nice, Whitney. It's great.
Thanks for the gift.
Congratulations on having a girl.
Hey, gosh, you should get a nitrotini. They said that we are contractually obligated to order 6 nitrotinis and mention on TV before we get our free side of mashed potatoes.
Austin's 38 today. We did 38 push-ups at the gym. Shep did not do 38 push-ups. I don't believe it. I don't believe that. Whitney's like, I can maybe do 2 push-ups. They just all stare at him and it's quiet for a minute. And Austin goes, We know, dude.
We know. So then they all sit down in their little shell, their bubble, which it may be just to shield the other diners from seeing Austin in shorts. And they all arrange themselves and like, oh, it's amazing. Oh, I'm not used to getting men birthday presents. Oh God, presents are just for pussy women, right?
normalize birthday presents. By the way, sorry about that bottle of booze that we got you. Didn't mean for it to be leaking, but Jack wasn't here to clean it up. Ah, it's okay. It's okay.
Jack. Jack comes over in a waiter costume. He's like, yes, Craig. Here, far,
you, Craig.
Wherever you are. Oh, get him out of here, Craig. All right. Well, Craig, thank you. This is a beautiful, beautiful bow tie. Craig has given him a bow tie made out of feathers. Man, I don't know. I think you need other things to go with that, right? Like, I don't think you can. If you're going to go as bold as feathers, you need matching something to go with that. But what a nice thought.
No, this was not. This was Craig bought something off of Facebook Marketplace or saw an ad and he didn't like the way it looked. So he regifted it to Austin. I guarantee it.
Yeah. So, so regift bird. Bird centered bow tie. So,
okay. Well, I'm excited to have us all at dinner together. Yeah. We've been friends for a long time. Okay. Well, I'm going to just skip over that and not say anything sarcastic because I want to eat my steak first. I knew Chef first, and then I met you two very soon thereafter. And I remember Craig said to me, are you friends with Shep? And I say, yeah. And he said, would you want to become best friends just to piss him off? It's insane right now, Craig.
Yeah, that's the first time we met each other.
Oh, gosh, I knew it. Thanks for verbalizing it. I'm sure that occurred. You know, Craig and Austin, their natural default setting is to just enjoy each other's company. There's so much history. And how could you not smile and laugh and reminisce? That's how I see it. But what do I know? I'm just a boy.
Okay, well, I have a preposition or a proposition or a preparation age.
Oh, you can use preposition.
Okay, I'm going to propose a preposition.
Do you have a suppository?
Not yet. I say in this moment, which is like really awesome that the four of us are here. Wait, Jack, what are you doing here? Oh, sorry. I thought I could maybe join the boys' table. I'll get back to work. Apologies. Okay, now that's back to just the four of us. We've been through so much. And tonight, let's just keep it positive and fun and uplifting. Even you, Austin, you piece of shit. So Austin's like, oh, yeah, Craig, Mr. Positive Conover. That's what we all say about Craig when he's not here. Yeah, this guy, Mr. Positive. That's insane right now. Insane. God, bring over the tanager.
All right, well, we got more glasses, so we should make another toast. Who wants to do the cheers this time?
And Chef's like, oh, it's my turn. Okay. Friendships, fart ships, ships. I got an opium bed.
Cheers.
cheers to that. So, now there's more appetizers that are coming out and, also like, ah, move the crabs to Shep's pants where they belong. So, Craig, I'm curious. This is total curiosity. How'd your date go with Charlie?
Were there fireworks? Did you guys consummate? I'm curious. Tell me everything.
So Craig's like, well, for one, it was awesome, for one, and it was like a lot of fun. But like, is it okay to hang out with her a couple of times, or like, do I have to make a decision now? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm overthinking this a lot, like, because like the last thing I want to do is like have Charlie drop her guard and then me realize I don't like her.
Yeah, then maybe you shouldn't have laid it on so thick on the date, Craig. You fuck. Yeah. Well, what if she realizes, you know, that she doesn't like you? It's like, yeah, that's never happened. I mean, give her some credit, Craig.
It's like, well, I mean, I'm just trying to say, like, you know, like I should not start going on dates with someone because it might not work out. And like, you don't want to hurt her. So like, should I just kill it now?
They're like, why don't you just have sex for a while, Craig? And he's like,
but how do I do that without having to lead them on?
And maybe don't tell them that you're a relationship person. All you want is a relationship. You know, when you like someone right away, you really like her and you hope that you can do this again multiple times and have babies together at the oyster farm. Okay.
Yeah. And that when you date someone, you're only thinking about the end game of getting married. Maybe that's a good way to not hurt someone as much. But yeah, he's already just looking for an excuse to get out of this. He's laying the groundwork to dump her. So that's why he can say, I mean, this is what I said all along. I don't want something serious. That's why I said I want to get married to her.
He's also setting it up to be like where he's leading her to believe he only wants something serious, which he did do. And then he's, when she's acting like she wants something serious and he doesn't want it anymore, he's going to be like, oh my God, look at her. She's trying to get serious so fast and make her look fucking crazy. It's like typical, it's typical man book, but it's typical Craig.
Typical.
Craig. It's typical Southern charm for sure.
Yeah. Shep is like, gosh, Craig is very much like a middle schooler when it comes to dating. He's sort of sweet and innocent in this weird way. And I'm a caveman that Sanji says, come home with me with your pretty little freckled lip. Yeah. So then
plunge Austin's pool. Like, whoa. Plunge pool.
Come see my plunge pool. So Austin is like, oh my God, there are doubles in there. Like, they're mushrooms. Well, what exactly have I been eating? Mushrooms?
Like, he thinks he's eating escargot. He's like, oh, well, I'm going to have another escargot. I've had like 20 of them. They're like, well, no, you've been eating the mushrooms. He's like, oh, mushrooms. Yeah. So I've been eating mushrooms. Yeah. And Whitney goes, anyone have a hand sanitizer? Just go wash your hands. God, Austin has to go to the restroom anyway. He's like, I do. Let's go together.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So those two boys go to the bathroom together. And then in the hallway, Austin's like, oh, Craig is like, let's be friends. Let's have fun. Okay, man, for sure. But like, he's got a couple things to answer for. But I'm not bringing it up because I want to eat my fucking dinner today before we start fighting.
Yeah. They're like, we're getting a free meal at this place because we ordered 3 nitro teenies. So let's get the most out of it before the fighting begins.
Yeah.
So then this is where the waiter comes over with this enormous pepper grinder. I mean, this place is so silly. This is kind of like the Disneyland version of like a nice steakhouse at this point, because everything is so cartoony. So now this guy's coming over with this pepper grinder and they're all cracking up. Craig is like, hey, this is your present, Austin. Look at the size. Look at this huge. Whoa, look at the size of that thing. Oh, it's crazy. It's insane right now. It probably costs like $500 for that pepper grinder too, I'd like to add.
Yeah. Guys, I really want you to know I appreciate you and we get to have dinner together, but maybe I have hated some of you. Mostly me. Yeah, mostly. And it's always good to have your friends together, but keep your enemies closer. Right, guys? Toast.
And Whitney's like, what? How are we your enemies? And Craig's like, wait, are we your enemies?
Well, I mean, we have been, Craig. We have been, but not anymore. Well, you told Sally I was your enemy.
Didn't you just say you're not going to fight until after you ate?
I know.
Eat your food.
I know. Your food. There's still so much food on the table for you to spray on everyone. So then Craig is like, well, I told Sally.
There's so much unchewed food that needs to be on people's faces, Austin.
Craig's like, well, I only told Sally that you were my enemy because apparently you told her things I told you in confidence. You did not tell anything to him in confidence. You were screaming to a group of people in a bar about why Sally is the worst person you've ever met in your life. And I don't, like, you were just being shitty. And he told Sally because you were being shitty.
I mean, that was messy of Austin to tell Sally that.
Messy.
But
Craig is equally messy. But, like, that doesn't make Austin his enemy.
I mean, they're enemies. Yeah, they're enemies. But, you know, they're frenemies, I guess. That's good. That's the best word. So Austin says, you know, well, I'm just confused. I feel manipulated. And Whitney's like, what the fuck are you two even talking about?
Yeah, but look, last year you came to me. We had a very serious conversation and you were like, I have an addiction problem. And now you're Mr. Shock King.
He goes, but why is that your problem?
He's like, because you came to me with something very serious and then you turned the footing on me.
He's like, no, I didn't. So Austin's saying that, you know, Craig knew that he had a lot of things to get off his chest. And so Craig used the alcoholism storyline to get Austin to stop yelling at him, which he did do. But right. Why isn't Austin just saying that now? He's not really wording it right in this argument. He's like, he's saying that you're pretending to be an alcoholic, but now you're having shots. That shouldn't be the fight. The fight should be like, every time I have something to say to you, you act like a victim. And then you pulled out an alcoholism storyline when you never took that seriously anyway.
Yeah, well, because the thing is this, I think they bring up a series of points here. Both of them do. And I think actually all their points are correct. I do think that Craig pulled the alcoholism card. And I do think it's Craig's right to decide that if he wants to start drinking again, he's going to start drinking again. And like, he's allowed to do that. I don't think it's actually like Austin's business, like how Craig decides he wants to handle alcohol or like what his relationship with alcohol is. But I do also think that Austin's right, that Craig was very convenient about bringing it up and using it to get out of arguments. And I do think that like Craig is slippery and it's like very frustrating for Austin. But I think that ultimately at its core, they're not, Austin is not articulating what the real issue is, which is what you just said, which is that Craig gets out of tough situations by playing the victim. But then to be fair, Ronnie, it is his fault. It's all his fault.
It's all my fault. This manipulation at his finest.
And he's like,
there's no manipulation, buddy. I was going through a breakup. I started to hang out with pretty girls and going to the bar again until I got one that made me stop drinking again. So what does that have to do with anything? And he's like, don't buddy me, Craig. You manipulated me. Okay, so you saying that me coming to you and telling you about my drinking issues was about manipulating you?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, it was.
And he's right.
It was.
Because you never even stopped drinking. You never even stopped drinking. You're like, well, I'm just having beer and wine now. That's, you're still drinking. What?
I'm a storyteller.
But that's, at the same time, he's allowed to keep drinking. We're actually not even upset that he keeps drinking.
It's not that. That's not even the point. It's just that he pulled out that storyline to get people off of his ass. And to prove it, he never even stopped drinking. So he wasn't like really saying I'm an alcoholic. He was saying like, I'm saying I'm an alcoholic on camera so that you can't come after me on camera for the rest of the season or you look like a fucking monster, which is what Austin's trying to say without actually saying it. But it's failing.
Right. And it also earned Craig a whole lot of compassion from the audience.
Yes, they still get it. They're like, poor Craig, you know, his addiction. Craig has never stopped doing anything. Why are we pretending? Yeah,
he was drunk in that scene.
It's like Craig goes to AA, takes the chips and runs the hell out of there without having earned them.
He was literally drinking in that scene, right?
Yes, so, he was wasted in that scene.
So Shep is like, gosh, well, I think that Austin is like, I've been beleaguered by this relationship for years. And Austin's like, yeah, the fact that you don't see it, Craig is fucking insane right now. Jeff is like, oh, yeah, gosh. But the most recent thing is wrongheaded, Austin. That's wrong. And Craig, nothing I do in my life is about you, buddy. Well, trust me, I know. It's Craig's way or the absolute highway. Yeah. And so Craig is like, you're only talking about my life, Austin. Why are you always obsessed with how I live my life just because I live my life in a great way and I tell everyone they should be living their life like the way I do? And every time you make a decision, I say, wow, you're just doing that because you want to live like my life because my life.
And then he goes, low. He's like, so are you going to acknowledge that your life looks the same way it did 5 years ago? And he's like, what? I cannot believe you're actually saying that, Craig. And he goes, like, you haven't built anything. What have you even built, Austin? Oosh.
I know. But by the way, that could also be applied to everyone at that table. And Austin is like,
oh, and we're also forgetting to give Jerry a lot of the credit for your life. Because yeah, that man literally came in. I mean, come on now.
And Jack.
And he's like, well, yeah. And so he's like, well, yes. He's like, well, my, and whoever cleans all the improperly cooked meat out of that grill.
My beer company has not done what I want it to do, so you're going to trash me for it? And he's like, I'm not trashing it. I'm just asking you, like, how do you feel that you're a failure?
This was great that Austin said that because, like, I feel like Austin doesn't have a lot of victim cards that he plays or gets to play. And so this was a good one to play, you know? I mean, they all play victim cards all the time, but this was, like, a really good, like, my dream trap hop didn't work out the way I wanted it to because, like, of course it wasn't going to because there's nothing in the history of Austin that ever expressed that he would be someone who would be a professional success. I mean, has he ever had a job? I'm not sure. Like, what does he train for? What is his career? So why did we think that this beer was going to work? But that being said, for sure, play that card. He's like, what? I've tried to grow, but I didn't. I failed. You're going to make fun of me for failing? Wow. Guys, stop it. We're friends. Stop this. You have nothing to show for the last 5 years of your life. And we all know that unless you have a girlfriend or a baby or a job, then therefore you might as well not even exist.
You bitch about being friends with me. You're still friends with me. You bitch about your girlfriend. You're still with her. Your relationship affects everyone because you just take care of you. And he's like, have I talked to you once about it, Craig? Please come on. I haven't even. And he's like, yes. And he goes, no, I haven't. Yeah, you did before filming.
And he's like, no, I didn't. And he said, yeah, you're a different person when you film. And Austin's like, oh, everyone knows you're a fucking liar, Craig. You're famous for lying.
Yeah. And Craig's like, I'm the exact same person I am on camera. You're the liar. You're the liar. So I'm like, I'm getting overstimulated with too many voices. You're the liars of all the liars, Craig. So then he's like, the audacity that this guy has, what comes out of his mouth is completely like jaw dropping to me. I'm like, well, we should talk about what comes out of your mouth. Specifically, should we have a poncho right now or an umbrella? What's protection that we should have?
Yeah, these guys are all terrible. And watching them call each other out is so funny because they're all right, too. You know, that's the thing. They've all got a point. So Austin's like, oh, my God, the audacity. He doesn't care about anyone but himself and on my birthday, too. Well, you started it, to be fair. And Craig's like, well, you know, you've said all of this before this. And he's like, oh, really? So Craig, he's telling Shep, like, Craig, why aren't you speaking up, Shep? You said all this, too. And Austin's like, oh, Shep wants to be fucking Switzerland then. Just let him be Switzerland. I'm not trying to be Switzerland. I'm trying to be Cuba.
Where I just went and learned Spanish. So they're like, okay, whatever. And Austin's like, look, I do fucking hate you, Craig. I hate you. And Whitney's like, oh, wait, apologize to Craig right now. Apologize. Okay, apologize. And then we can make fun of him again. Okay, apologize. And he's like, no, I'm not going to apologize. Wow. Do you know how fucked up you have to be in your head to scream that you hate someone? Like, Shep and I have never said that to each other. And me and Whitney have never said that to each other. That's not a true friend.
I can't wait to open a restaurant with him 3 months ago that we've never mentioned.
These guys are so weird. So Austin's like, you're a fucking asshole, Craig, all the time.
Okay, then we don't need to be friends anymore. I assume you're going to keep the feather tie.
Get some Garfield trash. And so it's over. That's it. And then we get the mid-season trailer, and it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Except that they're on another trip to Mexico. It seems like they take the same vacation every year. I know that they weren't in Mexico last year, but it's always the same like kind of beach vacation where they're trying to make stuff happen. It looks like the same vacation again for like 5 years in a row. But
I know, you know, it's still like interesting. Charm and marriage medicine always go to the same places. They just rotate through the same resorts.
Yeah. So that's it for Southern Charm today. We will be back tomorrow with Beverly Hills, The Valley, and The Traitors. Going to be a big day tomorrow. Don't forget to get tickets for the Golden Crappies February 27th at watchwhatcrappens.com. And live streaming tickets will go on sale next Wednesday, as well as voting. Find all the links at watchwhatcrappens.com, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
Happy are we, it's Allison with an I.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
You'll always get the full story with Tori Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.